You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Alexandra Kazarian is joining us right now. She's one of the nation's best criminal defense attorneys with Garagos and Garagos. We're going to be talking about the Lori Daybell trial that is about to begin the process of next week. Jury selection starting on the 3rd. And this is an interesting case, especially when it comes to jury selection, because this is not a normal human being that believes normal human being things. And it's got to be one of those things where the attorneys are going to have their work cut out for them, trying to figure out how to get jurors that will be non-prejudicial against Lori Daybell. Give me some insight here, Alexandra, on what they're up against and what they would want to be looking for in this case.
So the best that she can hope for is somebody who perhaps has some spiritual or religious leanings, but not very, very deep. Somebody who, you know, has gone to church either as a child or goes to church maybe on some major events during the year, but doesn't adhere strictly every single day to a religious belief, because that's a person who can understand the pull of religion and understand how it could consume people, but also can think analytically about it. And, you know, we're going to start running into a theme here on these, on my appearances, because this is going to be your classic not guilty by reason of insanity case. And it actually does follow the law, at least in California. Every state may have different details, specific details about how it can be pleaded to the jury. But here in California, if you are operating under a delusion and that delusion itself is either morally correct or legally correct, and you are, if you convince a jury that you are honestly operating under that delusion at the time of this killing, then it may be not guilty by reason of insanity. So if you have somebody who believes in, you know, the good of God and of a Christian religion, and you have somebody that agrees that there may be dark spirits out there, then it's not to say that they believe that she did the right thing, but that they could understand how she could be consumed by this delusion and how in her mind she was doing the morally and legally in her mind correct thing by squashing these dark spirits, which were of the devil.
In Idaho, I don't believe that they can plead that they can be found guilty under reason of insanity. But that's an interesting thing to bring up, because if, let's just in theory say that this was being tried in California, which obviously it's not, could they go in and could her defense literally be, if it were taking place in that state, that yes, she did this, but because at the time she believed her children were possessed by evil spirits and she called them zombies, and she vehemently believed that to be the case and she killed them because she thought she was doing the right thing, that could get her off in a state like California. But in a state like, is that correct, number one? Could that be the argument?
Yeah, that is exactly the argument.
But in a state like Idaho, where that does not exist, is this then just, because I can't imagine they're going to go in and say, yes, she did this and she believed that she was doing the right thing. They're going to have to probably mount a defense of her that she didn't do this or had nothing to do with it, or who knows what they're going to try and go with. Because it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense yet.
So this is what would happen. So even if they don't have a straight not guilty by reason of insanity, you're always going to have a competency argument. You're going to have an argument to the jury that even if she did this, at the time she did it, she wasn't competent. And so you don't treat people who are mentally incompetent the same way that you treat somebody who just makes a decision to do this kind of a crime. And so that takes you to the mental health side of cases, instead of the incarceration in a prison. You still go away. They don't open the door and let you out. You still go away. but you get locked up indefinitely in a mental health institution. And if at some point you regain your sanity after years and years and after medication, then there's a potential that you could be released. It's kind of like parole, mm-hmm. but for mental health purposes, instead of just getting the death penalty, which she is eligible for, or instead of being locked up in prison for life. And mm-hmm. and every state, no matter where it is, has a mental health component okay. to a defense, because you have to. It's cruel and unusual punishment to punish somebody who's so mentally incompetent that mm-hmm. they don't know what they're doing. So yeah. in some places, you know, that is an actual full defense, and in some sure. places you have to really find it in the law.
So it to understand this correctly, it can't be brought up as the defense. Like, this is our, we're pleading this, it's not allowed in Idaho. But in the end, it could be viewed that way in terms of a verdict. Is that what I'm understanding? Where once enough is played out here and her arguments are made, they could look at this and go, not guilty by reason of insanity, even though that's not what was being pled?
Right. It would just be not guilty, because okay. competency is an element of the crime. You have to okay. be competent and understand what you're doing. It's a specific intent crime. You have to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You have to have intended to do that. And so if you are so mentally incompetent that you can't actually form the intent, then mm-hmm. then it could be a defense.
The fact that her trial has been delayed now, I believe two or three times, because of mental health competency issues, I'm assuming that plays into to her own good, or, you know, existence, if you will, going forward, to show, if in fact it goes that way, that look, this woman, we had to delay this already two or three times because we didn't deem her competent, but now we finally did, as far as going down that road.
Yeah, and there's a long history here of mental health issues. Mm-hmm. that they can argue didn't just start the day after, you know, she decided to kill her children. Mm-hmm. And when somebody is deemed incompetent in court, or when there's a doubt declared, what happens is the lawyer for that defendant asks the court to declare a doubt as to the competency of the person. When that happens, then there's a state appointed doctor. There's appointed doctors that work both with the prosecution and with the defense, and they both interview them. They both look at the evidence that they have as to the mental health. And if both sides come to an agreement that this person is not competent, then proceedings are suspended. And so it's not a matter of the defense trying to convince the court that she's incompetent. Once you declare that doubt as to the competency, mm-hmm. then the system kind of takes over, and it's not up to the defense to prove it to anybody. It's the appointed doctors mm-hmm. deciding whether this is an issue or not.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Alessandra, stay right there. We're going to be having a little bit more conversation about this, digging a little bit deeper into the potential directions that this all could go, knowing what we know about Lori Vallow-Daybell's mental state. Be sure for you to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts for you, so you don't miss any of the discussion and breaking updates on the cases that we're following for you right now. Here. You can get an ad-free experience through Apple Podcasts right now. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.